It's such a vibe.
As the music is playing, I'm like, heal that shit. We ain't gonna heal that shit. Listen.
Okay. Remix coming through?
There's a song that's gonna be coming through. I'm telling you.
Well, all right now. It's a vibe. I was telling on my podcast, my BTS last week when it actually worked, I was telling them that they could tell the difference of who produces what. So I was like, and I was showing Ashley too, because I was like, you can tell what I produce, because what I produce is very basic. And then I was like, and then you have Bianca's production, right? But I was telling her, I'm like, you can tell like the different vibes. So I was telling my people that they can tell like the different vibes, but also that I was very proud of what I created for The Frolicking Truth, because I did that all by myself. And it captured the vibe. And I like that the intro does like kind of, it starts the vibe. So for this one, it's a bop. It's a bop, for real.
Yes, indeed. And I do want to give you your flowers, because I was like, okay, when you posted the behind the scenes of look what I created in Patreon, which shout out to the folks in your Patreon. I was like, okay, girl. Okay, sis. I see you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. You should be proud.
It took a lot of mental energy and focus. But ultimately, yeah, I am. I'm really proud. So that's also a testament to your inspiration. Because one thing you gonna do is have a bomb ass intro video. Okay. That's what's gonna be a part of it. Period and point blank.
I appreciate that. When I tell you, I cannot wait for the morning show to come back, because
it's a lot. So hold on, let me introduce the people, because girl, I want to think I'm gonna have one too, like what the heck. So hey y'all, welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit, where we're taking everything we learned last year in 2024 and amplifying it for this new year of transformation in 2025. This is not just a podcast anymore. This is a revolution in healing. So whether you're a longtime listener, this is your very first episode, get ready for some life-changing conversations.
We've learned something powerful over the past year. When we share our truth, we give others permission to do the same. We've created this space for the truth seekers, change agents, and anyone ready to do the work. Because let's be honest, real change happens when we stop hiding and start healing.
So whether you are here to work through your own journey or you're here to learn from ours, you are in the right place. We are about to get real, deep, and most importantly, get results.
So let's buckle up, strap in, grab your favorite drink, and let's heal this shit together. Yes, indeed.
So my name is Kim Verland. I am an educational advocate, activist, consultant. I'm a visionary and motivational speaker, a virtual producer, network executive. I am the visionary behind Intuitive Melanated Life Coaching. I help people deepen their relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I am a professional frolicker. I currently live in Medellin, Colombia in South America. I am a host and podcaster, and I'm excited to be back here.
Yes, indeed. My name is Bianca Goolsby. I'm a digital strategist, a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. I'm glad you're on cue. I am an investigator and a receipt collector, so please put some respect on my name. I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture, which we're going to talk about that, okay? Where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and we heal. Shout out to Kimberlyn repping the t-shirt, which I can't wait to tell y'all about that too. I am an intuitive melanated life coach as well, and a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi, Currently, my feet are planted in Lima, Peru. My purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment. Because life is life and out here. And people are peopling out here. Amen.
Amen.
Well, so we operate in this space here by the three keys. Amen. Okay. Accountability, transparency, and integrity. Okay. I've been very serious about these words for over 5 years now, and I can't wait to recap all of that in a moment. Okay. But before we go further, I want to make sure that we are clear about expectations, what you can expect from us and what we expect from you. Mm-hmm. All right. So what you can expect from us to honor the three keys, mm-hmm, because we're going to keep it real. We're going to speak freely and we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So this is why we're telling you this, because if you got little listeners, you might want to have some AirPods or some headphones or maybe not. That's your business. But we're going to speak freely in this space and what we can expect from you. Hate speech, hate comments, not over here. We are proudly serving the Block and Be Blessed ministry. Amen. So engage with intention or get escorted to the Block pew. We want you to go with this journey with us. We are not experts, but we are going to be facilitating important conversations. And we want you to participate in this journey and bring people with you, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal. Now, amen, what updates amen. You got over there, ma'am? So what's the church announcements?
I was just talking to you a little bit ago about like teaching people like how to interact in the space. So I do want to give us a reminder of how we want you to show us some love when you're here in this space. So we do have emojis that are tied to us and tied to this space. Our collective emoji for the Heal That Shit community is the heart with the bandage around it, because that's what we're doing. We're in the process of healing, right? So we're trying to get this thing together and restore and repair, right? So that is how, when you see us out in these streets, we will know that you are specifically from this community by using that emoji. So that's our little, you know, right here, we here type of situation. Now, we also have our own emojis. So my emoji is my emojis are the sunflower and the crayon. The sunflower, because my favorite color is yellow. It makes me happy. It reminds me of the sun. But also, sunflowers are representative of invisible disabilities. And as someone who lives with ADHD, anxiety, depression, autism, neurodivergence of all sorts and flavors, a lot of the things that happen with me happen on the inside. So I look absolutely normal on the outside. So, you know, one of my missions in life is to make sure that I make that known and visible, because there are many people like myself that are walking around with these invisible disabilities. And the crayon is my emoji because there was a time in my life where my life was very black and white. And I made a conscious decision when I moved here to Colombia to color the fuck out of my life. And that crayon represents that. So those are my emojis. What are yours?
Yes, indeed. Well, my emoji starting out with the teddy bear. Okay, because it's teddy bear season, baby. There's a lot of love to receive and a lot of love to give. And when I tell you, this teddy bear over here is loved, and I am giving love to everybody, even when the people that try it. Okay, because I got some things to update you on, baby. And the second emoji is the hands that form the heart. Okay, for those of you that know my story, I have a mechanical piece that is attached to my heart that helps me function every single day. And also, on top of the mechanical piece, I have a pacemaker. So when I tell you I'm so serious about my heart and following my own pace and doing the things that are aligned with my body, because it's important, these two emojis are very, very important. Okay. Teddy bear season in the hands that make the heart.
Mm-hmm. Love that. And I love that you have your reactions on. So the heart comes. So one more thing. We are about to transition into, this is what I was going to say before I say that. We haven't really talked to each other, y'all. So this is organic, like, conversation. We haven't talked at all. Like, life really has been lifing and doing all the things. So wanted to just state that, because this is real life, us like checking in. So having said that, we're going to transition into our spirit check. And our spirit check is our opportunity to really just think through how we are feeling and to just honor what that looks like and sounds like, and not really to judge it, but just to kind of paint a picture for what that looks like. So I'm going to describe the categories for those of you who may be listening. And I didn't say that earlier, that we are on both podcast platforms as well as YouTube. So if you are listening on one and want to watch, come over here to YouTube. Kill that shit. And if you are watching and just want to listen, go to the podcast sources. All right. We are at the places. So for those of you who may be listening right now, these are the categories for our spirit check. So green, I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So we're going to model using these colors, and then we invite you all to do the same, to take a moment to really think through and search your spirit about how you are feeling and find a way to describe that. I told you I used this with my community engagement thing that I did with the company I contract with.
You did. You said that they had a really good experience describing their hearts, and they were able to do it very similar with illuminating with gradients and sparkles and all different type of things.
Stripes. And it was interesting. It was really interesting. So I love stuff like this because there's not a right or wrong answer, and it allows everybody to participate in the way that they see fit. So who's starting?
You.
Me. Okay. So let's see. I feel like around the perimeter of my heart is like a neon blue. So, you know, kind of like neon glow in the dark. And then in the center of my heart, it is glittery, sparkly green. Yeah. So things feel very wonderful right now. Life is great. Things feel peaceful. And it's kind of just like a level of contentment. Just I'm good. I am okay. I am better than okay. Like I am good. So yeah, that's where I am.
Hey, man. Okay. So I am a bright blue heart. I have some sprinkles of the purple where I'm okay. Things could be better, but overall I'm good and I don't have any complaints. And right in the center, right in the core, like how you describe, like it's green and it's a bright green. Like I'm wonderful. Life is great. Like right in the core of things, I know that God is going to make a way and everything is going to align itself and things are aligning itself, and just the energy and the connection and the community, like it's starting to come together. But also life is life, and people are people and babies. So yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you tell me the things? So much has happened, and I haven't really seen what's happening out here in the digital world for real, but I know that things are happening. But I had mentioned you on my podcast this morning because I have on the Teaching for the Culture shirt. And I was like, I'm not going to even get into this, y'all, because I know that we're going to talk about it on Heal That Shit. So start wherever you feel that you need to, but also be prepared for me to interrupt and ask questions because I have a lot of them.
Yes, indeed. Let's actually start there, okay? And starting there is talking about Teaching for the Culture. On this platform with Heal That Shit, we can go back to several episodes of talking about the trademark dispute that existed between Teaching for the Culture versus Teach for the Culture. And the whole issue and argument has been that removing an ing from a name of a business where everything else stays the same, which, interesting enough, very similar color scheme and all, violates the trademark law. It violates our protections that we have in federal law for our trademark. And there have been people, I wouldn't say people, like it's more than one. There's one person, Shauna Brown, who has been infringing on our trademark, Teaching for the Culture, for years now, and has decided that she wanted to take legal action to cancel our said trademark. And the legal system at the appeal board for the trademark office has came to a conclusion in the matter. And this is the first time that we're actually able to talk about it on this platform. But the case was dismissed with prejudice, meaning that she cannot have any trademark of Teach for the Culture, which is what she wanted to do. She wanted to trademark Teach for the Culture, and she filed 3 trademark applications for it. All 3 of those were denied. And then she petitioned to cancel our trademark so that she could trademark her Teach for the Culture, and that was denied. So therefore, our trademark, Teaching for the Culture, is standing and it cannot be brought up again, which is amazing. That is great. However, Shauna Brown is still infringing on our trademark, still to this day, even after all of the things that have gone on, which that is a whole story time in itself. I don't want to spend too much time on this particular platform talking through all the different things that have happened. However, comma, I tell you what, God is good. People lie, receipts don't. And I've been saying that for some time now. And if you're out here operating business, I hope that you have the receipts, because you can't go out here and take someone else's intellectual property and think that it's going to be okay. It's not okay. So I'll tell you what, the shirt that Kimberlyn has, we're going to put that up on the website, and we're going to have a special coupon code for those listeners from Heal That Shit. The coupon code is going to be Heal That Shit. Okay. It's not set up right now, but by the time that this is published, it will be. So you can go to teachingfortheculture.com, go to the shop, and you can find the t-shirt that Kimberlyn is rocking and save some money by using coupon code Heal That Shit. And we will get that to you, because we need folks to rep the brand, what it stands for, because we're out here teaching, transforming, empowering, educating, advocating, coach, and healing. And there's some words that we use interchangeably, but the acronym is TEACH, which is why it's important that you just can't just remove an ING from an organization name, register your business after, and think that that's going to stand. So yeah, I'll stop there, because I know you got some questions and you probably want to color some things in on that.
Yeah, well, I know we probably, and I know you probably have this already scheduled, but, you know, have to have a whole nother conversation about, like you said, all the things that have happened. I'm grateful that your life's work is still intact, because I know a lot of this was grieving the possibility that it may be taken, and, you know, a byproduct of someone filing false legal claim to something that they don't own is the financial responsibility and the copious amounts of hours that have been put into gathering receipts and linking things and uploading things. And it was a lot. And so I'm grateful that at the end of the day, that those receipts held, and that, you know, God allowed you to keep what you had put so much work into founding, and all the work that we have done in transforming communities and teachers and making safe environments for children, and the advocacy and the activism and the school board forums. And, you know, like, it's just been so much that we have done in the name of Teaching for the Culture. And I'm just grateful that that still is tied to you without having to have a whole rebranding campaign and, you know, all of that. Cause we really had to be like, okay, so what if What if it doesn't work out? Like, what is, how do we maintain the heart of this mission, even if it has to go under another name? So I'm just so happy that it didn't, that it doesn't have to go under another name and it gets to stay intact and your legacy gets to continue to live on because the work has been transformational.
I appreciate you and thank you for saying that. Just when I go to Google and I Google Teaching for the Culture and some of the things that were linked to in articles, and then later in the search results, seeing Teach for the Culture and then using the trademark symbol as if it's an active trademark or something, or, you know, the music that we have for, you know, professional development and children that are doing independent activities. You know, when you see musical artists, it actually has images of Teach for the Culture's things associated, and it causes a confusion, and it has caused a confusion for some years. And even if there is some type of pivot that will need to happen with how we list things moving forward, like, that is something that I'm willing to look into as well, just because I don't want there to be any confusion on the interwebs, and it has been. But there have been questions about, okay, Bianca, well, what's next? And people are like, well, so are you going to hold Shauna Brown accountable civilly as it relates to it? And I've been very vulnerable to say that I am tapped out as it relates to the legal battle and the finances and still actively paying off in order to have the result that we have today. Like, I am still actively paying off the debt from this particular legal matter that was brought against us. And so even in that, like, we are going to need community support in order to do that. We're also going to need people to help take down the pages that caused the confusion and to protect our intellectual property and our rights, because enough is enough, you know? So I just thank you for being a vital part in that and being just lockstep with me as I've dealt with so much, even being hospitalized as it relates to this matter, and to finally see that this matter was closed with prejudice, meaning that this can't ever come back up again, just makes my heart sing. But there's so much work to be done. And I look forward to continuing the work in the community and the global impact that we have and how we're out here trying to make the education system the best for our children, despite the circumstances and the things that are happening in our country and all of that. So, yeah.
So how can, you mentioned like getting the page taken down and all that kind of stuff. Do you already have like the plan or the calls to action that you want people to do to make that happen? Or how can the community support? Of course, I know financially would be lovely because this has costed some thousands of dollars. So if you all are wanting to contribute financially, how might they do that? And then if they don't have the financial contribution and or want to do more, do you already have the steps of what people need to do?
Great question. So I was advised that if I were to advertise the link in which they can submit a report for the page, that would be the best method in order to share that out. So it's just a matter of me posting the link of being like, please report this page on these platforms. And the platforms that she is most active is on Instagram. However, there is a Facebook page, there is a TikTok, there is a Twitter, there are different accounts that are out there. There is a whole website that is competing and conflicting with our search engine optimization results and how we're being listed in Google. So all of those different things will need to be examined. Ultimately, I hope that there is just pressure that is put on her to where she just changes everything, to where we don't have to go through a whole takedown, that she actually initiates it. It actually would be a cleaner process if she did it than having it to be removed from these companies. So I just hope that folks look to her to be like, do the right thing. You've been adding all of these different Instagram handles to your social media platform. Why don't you pick one that doesn't conflict with someone else's intellectual property and you operate from that moving forward, continuing what you do, which is fine, but just don't use teach for the culture because it conflicts with teaching for the culture. Changing the verb tense of the word teach is not going to be sufficient or sustainable in order to continue operations, particularly as the trademark office has made this final.
So I appreciate the calm and collected energy that you are directing right now. I also, though, want to say, girl, you're going to have to operate in integrity, girl, because this wasn't it. This was not it. The amount of money that was wasted on a lie is wild. The amount of time that you spent to create lies over some that you know that you didn't come up with. And just like you were saying earlier, the looking at the way the letters are, the color scheme, like, all girl, you don't have no integrity. Okay. So that's what you need to be working on while you taking all of this stuff down. Also work on your integrity. Because this was completely dishonorable and should have never happened at all because it was fraudulent from jump. So I just wanted to put that up in there because I can give the energy. Because when I tell you I'm fed up. I'm done. I really am. And you're in my sorority, which pisses me off even more so because that ain't what we do. It's not sisterly. So with all of my love, it's a no. And I'm going to need you to be a better person. That's what I need you to do, is to be a better person and stop lying and scheming, because that's what you did. Okay, I'm done.
And I just want to add context to that situation before we transition, because there were shirts that she was producing and she was using a third party vendor to produce the shirts, and the third party vendor was not producing the shirts. And so there were people that were looking to us for refunds and stuff, business operations that she was over here doing. And people thought that it was us, and it wasn't. And so what I tell you, it's really, really important that we honor folks' intellectual property out here. And I have been working on another ebook to outline this entire process, to outline the things that you need to be aware of, websites that you can go to do research so that you can prevent this. Because had Lil Baby did her research, which actually, before she even filed her trademark application, she went to an attorney who did do a search and did say that there was going to be a conflict because this was already a pre-existing mark, and submitted that to evidence and discovery, which didn't help her case at all, because then it outlined that she submitted the application knowing that it was going to be a conflict because our pre-existing marks are there. And when we talk about money being spent, energy, okay, she still owes her attorney $7,000 according to what the attorney say. So it is very interesting to me how someone initiated this, where I am still paying off stuff and you ain't even pay your attorney, sis. So I want all the smoke as it relates to it. Take it down, change your business model, do something else. But using teach for the culture moving forward, absolutely not. Not on our watch. And the trademark office was very clear.
Don't try to change it to talk for the culture or none of that. Okay, get out of it. Get out of it, pivot, do something else.
Do something else, please. Because I understand that you care for the kids and we do too, but this ain't it. Honor intellectual property. Honor intellectual property. Outside of that victory, you know, living in Peru has been amazing. Being able to see a different country and to learn a different variation of Spanish, which I'm like, oh boy, I can't keep up.
So yeah, talk to me about the differences. You know, I was able, Kalonda and I talked a little bit on Sunday about it, but I'm curious of how it's landing on you, because also you had came to Mexico City. So you've seen like a few different like situations. You've also had your time in Belize. So talk to me about the things about Peru, how it's landing and all of that.
So the folks in Peru are much more affectionate. So when they hug and embrace.
Colombia?
Yes.
Okay, tell me more.
So like the usual greeting is a hug with a kiss on the cheek is like the usual greeting, just a warm embrace. The way that some of the Peruvians, the way that they communicate, they talk real fast. And so it's like, hey, all right, yo hablé inglés, yo estudiar español, uno momento, like just like trying to slow it down a bit to be like, hey, okay, I'm learning here. Okay, you're talking a little fast. Slow down so I can hear what you're saying. But the people that we've interacted with thus far have been so friendly and nice. I met a guy who was going to be doing my locks next week, and I'm so excited about that. I can't wait to have my... So he has an Instagram page where he shows all the things that he do, slid in his inbox, got an appointment scheduled next week. And I can't wait to get my purple hair back. I can't wait. So I'm looking forward to that experience. Was able to get nails done. And of course, you know, I'm always going to do the teddy bear.
Your bear looks good. Did you show a picture from last time from here?
So not from here, but from the Pinterest.
From Pinterest. Okay. They did a good job.
They did. However, I miss Manuel.
Oh.
I do. I miss Manuel in the squad. I really do. But she did a really good job. I made content in the nail salon. So they're looking forward to seeing the YouTube video that I'm going to create as it relates to the experience and just talking about how much it costs. Like it was 60 soles. Soles is the currency here. So it was 60 for the manicure and 70 for the pedicure.
And what's the conversion for how many soles to $1?
So that I don't know, but I can tell you that
you can keep talking. I'm gonna look it up though.
Okay, so me and Kalonda, we got a manicure. I got a pedicure, and it was like $45.
$45 USD. For one manicure and pedicure, or for both of y'all?
For two manicures and one pedicure with designs.
So you said 60, wait, let me put it here. 60 soles is equal to, I don't know if I'm doing it right.
Yeah, I'll grab my phone, I'll tell you.
Okay, so 60 soles is $16.53. Mm-hmm. So $1 is equal to 3.63 soles. So a little bit less than here, because here $1 is four. Well, it went down because yesterday it was 4.2, but now it's 4.193. The dollar is falling, girl. And I'm really trying to get out of this fall. Like, I'm really trying to get here and into this market and just having things in pesos or in some other money, because the dollar is not doing well. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But okay, so for two manicures, one pedicure, it costs about $45.
Yep.
Wow. You know, I talked to somebody the other day and she told me she paid $60-something for a pedicure, just a pedicure.
Yeah, that's how much. So in the States, the place that I would go to, it was literally $70 for a pedicure. Now you sit in a nice massage chair, which I'm still looking for that experience to see who has a nice massage chair that you can sit in and it massages your body while you're in there. I haven't had that experience just yet. For the pedicure, you sit in this chair and they have a bowl. They get hot water. They, you know, heat the water and then they do that experience there, which is fine.
It's very much artisanal. It's very much like a basic without all the bells and whistles, but their work is so much more intentional.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like even like getting the cuticles and like just getting all the dead skin and just moisturizing. It was a great experience.
Without machines, by the way, because in the U.S., they'd be ready to take the ying, 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 the drill out, and that thing hurt. that thing hurts. So a lot of the things they do here too is very much taking time and taking care of your actual nails for a lot less money, which kind of just goes to show how consumerism and capitalism works in the U.S. because okay. it ain't got to cost that much. It don't have to. Yeah. Okay.
And the,
what else?
And the food is so good.
So like, tell me what's so good about it, because I've heard you say that a few times. But what does so good mean?
So it's like the richness, like the quality. I had some watermelon, and the watermelon was just so sweet. I don't know how else to say it other than you just have to experience it.
Ma'am, you're going to have to find some more words. So, okay, the fruit is extra sweet. What else? Like, what does so good mean?
Like, I'm eating a lot, and I need to go and make sure that I'm doing my power walks, because it's going to be a problem. I am eating chicken and cake and cookies and pasta and salmon and girl, I'm eating. Mm-hmm. I had Popeyes and I got one of their snack wraps. Girl, I about fell out the bed how good the snack wrap was. Like the chicken was so fresh, girl. Like,
okay.
Like I said, you just have to experience it. You just have to experience the richness of the taste of the food, the way that it's prepared.
Is it seasoned? Is it spicy?
That's what it is. It's the season of it. Now, I don't do spicy food. I don't do spice at all. Now, Kalanda, that's her thing. She likes things spicy, and they have so many different variations of sauces that you can add to your food to add that type of thing. So if you do like spice, there are accommodations with some of the sauces that they make that you can make it spicy, but that's not my ministry. But when I tell you just the seasoning of the food, the seasoning of just the girl, I just have to send you some pictures of some of the food that I've consumed. And when I tell you, I thank God during the prayer, I be doing the extra long prayer for the food because it be so good. And I be thanking God for it because, oh my gosh, it's so good. So all I can really say on that is the food is good. The Airbnb is nice. It is a beautiful place. I'm very grateful.
How is the weather?
So it is a little chilly. So this is their winter season.
Google, answer me.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, Google. Oh. She was like, girl, I got you, girl. It is currently. Okay, sorry. What'd you think? I don't want to say it again. I triggered.
So the weather is beautiful, but it is a little chilly. So this is their winter season. So we're looking at high 60s, low 70s on average. At nighttime, you definitely need to have on a light jacket, something to cover your arms, and maybe some leggings or some jeans or something. But when I tell you the sun is actually out, which hasn't been out for some time now, it's been kind of gloomy. But it is beautiful. Like, it is perfect teddy bear season weather, I must say.
For sure.
I've been
almost
ready.
Like fall. Is it going to get colder than that?
That is an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that this season of this period ends around September. So I want to say that it will probably be consistent until September, but I don't necessarily know if it's going to drop. I don't have that answer with fidelity.
Okay. I'm going to look and see. Lima, Peru. All right. It's giving me this in Celsius. I don't want it in Celsius. Yeah. Lima, Peru climate Fahrenheit, please.
Yes,
indeed.
I just
don't be having the time to do the conversions, sweet Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
So the coldest month in Peru, they say, is August. And that's about 63 degrees Fahrenheit. So it sounds like it's not going to get too much cooler. And
yes,
then the warmest month is February. The wettest and windiest month is January. just in case you were wondering. Okay, interesting. I was talking to someone the other day and they compared Peru to Seattle. I've never lived in Seattle, but I've heard that Seattle is like cold and gray and rainy. So maybe during like that January time, maybe it feels like that. But yeah, I don't know. But you have clothes for it?
I do.
Okay.
So of course, my usual teddy bear self, I have some sweatshirts and some leggings and a couple of jackets. You know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to ride. Yeah, I'm repping my Lion King sweatshirt now. So yeah, we good. We're good over here. Teddy bear season, baby.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that you are enjoying it and getting out and seeing and doing the things. When I was talking to Kalanda, she was saying how her focus when she was here was not really to be out and doing things per se. Like it was really to just kind of get herself together. And I was telling her that there are different movements. So like once you leave, that first time you spend like, okay, I left, and like processing that. And then you go through this phase of being like, it's time to frolic. I want to see the things. Like, oh my God, like what are the things? So I think it's cool that y'all are there and that you're navigating your Spanish. I heard that you're getting a Spanish tutor.
Yep.
That's going to be
Which I'm really excited about, because I will say that while Duolingo has been helpful for me to be able to identify words with my learning style and what works best for me, I know that with Duolingo that I will do what is necessary to keep my streak, because that's important to me. But the actual acquisition and conversations is going to require a whole different approach. And so I'm really excited to have that one-on-one support. And we even talked about being like, I need somebody that's going to actually help me, because the gamified version of this is not going to be able to get me to where I need to be. And I need to be able to have some type of knowledge when I'm in spaces to know what's going on. And that's one of the things that gives me anxiety at times, is when I can't understand what's happening around me because of the language barrier. So that's something that's really important for me, to increase my language acquisition so that I know what's going on and what's being said.
Yeah, it's definitely a process, and having the immersive experience, of course, helps. And I do think that's why Duolingo doesn't work for many people, especially if you're not in an environment where you are using what you are learning. It's just like you said, you're playing a game, and it's just, I'm playing a game. So you have to put yourself in situations where you're actually using, you know, the language and learning. For me, like the biggest learning curve, and I think where things clicked for me, is when I realized that Spanish is not English. And I know that that is like a big like duh, but the letters, even though they look the same, they are not the same. They're not pronounced the same. They don't have the same names, like any of that. So for instance, in English, the letter A can make different sounds. It can say A, it can say A, it can say A. In Spanish, the letter A that looks like an A only says A. That's it. So in words like gracias, gracias, or hola, that A always says A. So when I started thinking about it in phonics, it helps with your pronunciation. And then you'll be better able to understand what people are saying, because you're filtering it right now through English. And I remember Lewis has said that to me, and I was like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to learn these words. Like, shut up. And then at one point it clicked one day, and I was like, oh, this is not English at all. Like, it's not English at all. This is not a B, this is a bay. This is not a C, this is a say. It looks the same, but this is not the same. So that with a tutor, you'll be able to get those foundational pieces that you're missing, that is impeding you being able to understand and read and speak. And then you're going to have to put yourself in situations to actually speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. I look forward to this.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so cool.
All in all, I just thank God for this experience and being able to heal out loud and to share my story and to prepare for the next chapters to come, but just getting the weight from this trademark dispute that was weighing me down so much. So mentally, financially, just all of that, being able to be on the other side of it and yeah. to be like, okay, this is an opportunity to dream and reimagine what Teaching for the Culture is going to be moving forward, so that there's no experience of burnout and dealing with some of these one-on-one cases and some of these things where people come to us for help, but unfortunately, we can't help everybody. And with limited resources, it is only so much that we can do for certain scenarios and situations. So mm-hmm. I'm grateful to God to have this experience, and Peru's a great place for me to restart a lot of things in my life. And I'm really excited for what this is going to look like, and been documenting the journey since I've been here. So I'm really excited to publish that.
That's my statistical. Yeah. How are we documenting this?
Yeah. So I've been journaling and doing video recordings, and hopefully I'm going to be more consistent with posting video content on socials to just kind of highlight what I'm going through, the different things that I'm navigating, and how people can support, and building that community of supporters, and just building that unity as it relates to all the different things that are happening. That's really, really important to me, is to getting back focused on what I need to do in order to sustain out here. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, life mm-hmm. is life, and there's a lot of different things that are going on. And I just want to be my best self so that I can help myself and others.
Yeah, that's what's up. So I don't know if you want to get into this now, but you mentioned showing up and making content for socials. We can definitely come back to it later if you don't want to get into it now. But I'm curious about what your thoughts are about what's happening on social media right now, because in my opinion, it is very quickly becoming a space that is filled with propaganda, and even more so than it had been before. Like, the number of times that I have scrolled and seen a misleading headline that is making it appear like somebody has died, and like, it's a lot. So I'm curious what your thoughts are there. Again, if you want to get into it now, or you want to hold it for later, doesn't matter, but questions.
No, yes. So as far as my strategy, is posting and sharing, but being more intentional with the spaces that I own. So spaces that I own would be my website. Spaces that I own that I have a little bit more control, somewhat, a little bit, still owned by someone else, but Patreon and Substack, but actually being separated from these competing algorithms and directing people to the spaces that have a lot more control and more centralized as it relates to where information is. And so that has been my strategy of making sure that I'm optimizing my website, so when you're searching for certain things, that my name pops up and that you're able to contact me. I have not created my Substack yet, but that is something that I'm actually going to do next week. And I'm going to document the process of me creating a Substack and actually using that as an outlet to blog about different things as it relates to cybersecurity and safety. That's something that's important to me. My transparency moments, I said that I was going to move that over to Patreon, and most of that will live there. And all of my tech related or advocacy related or op-ed related would be on Substack. And so that's how I've been able to divide that. But I'm not really spending too much time, although I monetize on Facebook, of really making dedicated content there. It will be content that lives there. But for example, with my power walks, I posted the videos on Facebook. However, it's a whole podcast version that you can listen to on Apple Music, on Spotify. Like, it's a podcast. So while you can see the video on Facebook, that's great. There's other channels that you'll have access to, which is separate from the algorithm, separate from what is being competed right now. Because I'll tell you, I feel for the content creators who have a certain way that they've been living their life based on the numbers that they've been making, and then notice a big shift in that, and then now having to figure out how they're going to add additional revenue and to afford life, knowing that these platforms are not paying what they used to pay. And some of them are even moving the goalpost as it relates to getting paid. So there are content creators that are on YouTube right now that are saying that they're not posting on TikTok anymore, or they're not posting on Facebook or even YouTube anymore because of the different revenue changes that have happened with these platforms. And we're going to continue to see that, particularly with AI and how folks have been able to generate content that appears real and is not real. And people are having a hard time determining, which we've talked about on this platform before, what's real or not real. And that's a very dangerous place to sit.
It's scary, especially for the generation just above us. And because they are so deep in Facebook world, you know, the Facebook movement is over. You know, like the when Facebook was the hip hop happening place to be, that's done for. So those of us who are left over on Facebook, we have to be so careful about what we consume over there, because like you said, a lot of the things are AI videos. And because it's all owned by Meta, Facebook is trying to direct people towards Threads. But that's where a lot of those misleading headlines that I keep seeing are coming from. And even on Facebook, when you're trying to see different posts from people that you actually are friends with, that's very rare. Like, it's only giving you a very, very, very small snippet of people that you're connected to. So, it's really, really interesting over there. So I've just kind of been watching the shifts that have been happening with the platforms. And the same, you know, I was looking into Substack last week and, you know, thinking of if I want to reactivate my blog or what I want that to look like, or if I just want it to be newer content on Substack. But it really, we really, especially those of us who are in activism, we have to find the safe spaces to be able to have the conversations and to be able to say the things, because it is wild. And those comments are like out of control. The red pill movement and like all of that, it is wild. I was just, before we got on here, you know who Lanae Vinnie is, right?
Yes,
she did the parking lot. I'm gonna keep it black, but I'm gonna keep it brief.
Keep it brief. Yeah.
But she has a new show, so she hasn't been doing the parking lot series anymore. But she just came on a minute ago and was talking about why she hit a hotep as somebody, and basically she was, this has happened. You ever got by a hotep?
No.
You know who a hotep?
Who?
That I was about to call him all out his name. Your friend that you had me talking to, and I said, "Don't you ever have me talk to that man again."
Bruh.
He's a hotel. He's a hotel. He got real hotepish ways. Oh yeah. He got real hotepish ways. That's why we didn't get it. Cause who the fuck is you talking to, fool?
Yes, indeed.
But anyway, But I brought that up to say, Lanae was saying that she had an Uber ride, and she thought when the conversation started within the Uber, she thought that it was a safe space because the man sounded very pro-Black. And then once he continued talking, then he started speaking against immigrants and then started speaking against women. And that's what happens, is they lure you in with the facade that they are for the empowerment, upliftment of Black people, but you don't realize it's at the expense of others. And that is not what that's supposed to look like. But it's a lot of that going on, is my point. It's a lot of that happening right now in social media spaces. And it makes me really nervous for the generations under us, because that's who they're surrounded by, is people that think that way. So I've really been trying to figure out how to reach and support them, because it's a lot. And then our elders are consistently getting moved to the right behind this red pill and like all that type of movement, because that's consistently moving them towards Trumpism, if you will, you know, just especially the anti-immigrant rhetoric is so wild and out of control. And these are people who had and probably have still patriotism within their blood. So when they hear the immigrants are doing the things, they're very much like, get out of my country, you know, type of deal. And it's a lot. It's a lot that's happening in the generation that's above us. So that's older than us. So yeah, it's a lot going on in these social media streets. I was just curious because I know that is your lane. So I was just curious about your thoughts.
Yes. And something that I do want to do is having folks that are change agents that want to create content and just have that safe space. And we've talked about the planning for strategy meets purpose. And I can't wait for that to be launched so that we can have people come to the safe space to where they need a content strategy. And we have a co-working space where we're like, all right, so on today's agenda, we're going to be creating 30 days of content. And you can show up if you desire to. And if you don't, that's your business. But 30 days of content is going to be created where we're able to support one another and to share and thought partner, because it's going to take a village in all of the different stuff that's happening. And there's so much that's going on and protecting our peace in it, because I do understand some of the concerns of protecting your peace and not being on the front lines when all of these things are going on. But also at the same time, if you have a voice and a passion, sometimes it does require you to be out up front and to use your voice and to spread the message. So however you fit as that change agent, having those spaces with Strategy Meets Purpose where people can come and get that support as they're out here fighting the good fight, whatever that good fight might look like for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I was talking about that this morning too, because we all have a role. And again, that's one of those 2020 videos that I had made about understanding your role. You know, because everybody is not meant to be on the front lines of the protest. And right now, a lot of the protests, we're seeing people in white bodies that are the ones who are using their presence and their bodies to resist. And that is who we need to be out there, because our Black bodies are not safe. But that doesn't mean that we don't do anything. It means that we do something different that is within our giftings and our callings. So yeah, if that's being a chef and making sure that people are eating healthily, if that is helping people set up websites, if that, like, whatever your role is, there are just so many pieces that are necessary in revolution and in resisting fascism and oligarchy and this movement that is trampling on people is wild. My episode today was called "The World is on Fire and What Are You Doing About It?" Because all it reminds me of is that that video that you have with the dog and everything is on fire. And he's like, it's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm like, things are not fine. I hope y'all stop saying that, because it's not. You know, even when we started off and saying that the way that we feel in this moment is, you know, feeling well or whatever, that does not mean that everything is fine. The world is literally on fire right now, like in real life. And there's a lot of work to do in community organizing and showing up and teaching people how to use their platforms and how to use their voice and how to affect change. And like, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So no, it's not fine at all, you know? So yeah, I feel you on all that.
Yes, indeed. So friend, I miss you. What are the things? What you've been up to? I watched one of your podcast episodes and I saw that you got a cat. You a cat mom now.
Girl, don't stop spreading this propaganda. And it's so crazy. crazy because y'all's cat people don't know how to accept a no. That's what I've discovered, is that y'all don't know how to accept a no, and that y'all consistently, like these damn cats, don't honor people's boundaries. That's what I done learned. That child, Lucy, has been upstairs where she need to be. Amen. And, you know, I went up when I washed my clothes the other day. We had a quick little conversation, you know, and I said, well, it's good to see you, sis. I'm glad you're doing all right, you know. But, yeah, we had to break that spirit. No, ma'am. You cannot just be sauntering up in here. No, that's not going to work with your dirty paws. No. So, yeah, but no, I miss you too. I really have been focusing on calming my nervous system. It was really hard with all that construction. Like, it was really, really hard. Construction for me feels like torture. It feels like someone is pounding on my brain every single day, Monday through Friday, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Like, so it was a lot. And it was a lot that I had to do to keep myself grounded and stabilized in that condition Monday through Saturday. You know, I started walking around with my headphones like I'm real autistic. I am autistic. And I feel like, again, I look fine on the outside, but this is a lot. So here, it's just been so wonderful to just not have to talk and not have to be and not have to do anything, but just allow my brain to be at peace. I don't have to filter other sounds or anything. Like, it is so quiet, and I have desperately needed this, because even before we had moved there, I was saying I need to get out of the country. And that wasn't even construction noise. That was just noise from the streets and motorcycles. And like, I needed to be quiet. I need quiet. So I've finally gotten that, and it has been medicine for my soul and my spirit and my brain. And allowing my brain to not have to fight against so much to be able to operate. So it has felt like I'm able to connect and create. And again, I remind us of brain research. When we are in survival mode, we are not biologically capable of doing those upper brain activities. And it wasn't necessarily that I didn't feel safe per se, like I didn't feel like I was in danger, but consistent triggering to my brain is not safety, you know? So I'm really coming out of being in survival mode. And that's just the construction part of it. The other part of it was the fact of how that even happened, because that happened because all of the sources of income that I had just disappeared into thin air. So that was real life survival mode, you know? So I'm finally at a place where I'm like, okay, I think I'm okay for a second. And I've chosen to give myself permission to not worry right now. My visa is until the end of the month, and I can't do nothing to expedite it. Like, that's not up to me. I can't go in there and push a button, you know? So it's kind of like I'm giving myself the calm before maybe another possible event of uprooting and shifting and like needing to do all these things. I have to be able to replenish my spirit. And I'm just grateful to be in a space where I can do that and not have to also balance other things. So, you know, during those times, I get quiet. Like, I am trying to not have to be. I am trying to just chill, you know, to remember to eat, to focus on my routines and, you know, utilizing my mindfulness meditations. And getting acclimated to another bathroom, you know, because that's the other thing. I live with OCD. So anytime that I change to another environment, there is a shock to my system. And it takes time for me to be able to feel safe in my body and safe in the surroundings and all that kind of stuff. So I'm managing that. And I'm just grateful to have a chance to do it without feeling like I got to get my shit together for somebody or something. You know, I've really just been able to allocate my energy appropriately because I have been creating more. And I'm grateful for that. I'm really proud of what I am creating with The Frolicking Truth. It feels different than the things I've created before. And it feels authentic to what I've been wanting to create. Because I really do just want to be crisscross applesauce and let's talk about some of these things. Because there's so much that we need to talk about. And The Frolicking Truth feels like that. And it doesn't feel like a production and I gotta be on. Like, it just feels like, all right, y'all, I got my tea. Now let's talk. Because child, it's a lot. You know, and I've been needing that space as well. So even being able to create that and honor that through the move, you know, because I started that at the old place. And then I said, you know, I want to make sure I record a video or I want to do a podcast this week, even though I'm moving. And I was able to do that. So, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I have been able to do that. I've been cooking more. And it's interesting because out here with groceries, like, you order directly from the grocery store, but I just got a link yesterday to do this different, but this is how it had been working, is you order through the grocery store on WhatsApp. So you send them a list of the things that you need, right? Okay, in theory, but also, I don't know what y'all have. So I don't, like, I would have, like, you have to be really specific. Like, I need a 250 grams of garlic powder in such and such a brand, like, so they know exactly what to get. So then it's like, I don't know the brands. I don't know what y'all have there. Like, I don't know. So it was, yes, convenient, but also this is a lot, right? So yesterday, the owner gave me another link to another grocery store where you can place the order online. So I can at least see the different brands that they have, but also it's actually took the time to look at every single product that they have because I want to know what you have. So that took maybe like 2 hours yesterday of me scrolling through each page and just kind of like making a mental note of what they have available. But this process should be a little bit easier because I can just order it online and then they deliver it and I pay for it and that's that. So that's been interesting. And also figuring out what I want to eat and like actually planning those things out as opposed to just having stuff to eat from, because I'm trying to move away from processed food and really make the food that I want. So for instance, if I want spaghetti, instead of ordering a jar of spaghetti sauce, I want to make the spaghetti sauce from tomatoes. You know what I mean? So that also requires fresh ingredients. And because the fruits and vegetables are fresh with no preservatives, you have to use them in a certain amount of time. So that means that you're not ordering everything in bulk. You're ordering as you need it. So that's like a different way of existing. Is a way that I want to exist, but it's also a different way of existing because it's a lot more planning and a lot more logistics. So Chef Ratatouille definitely comes in handy with that. And that's what we've been doing is just like, what types of things do I want to eat? And then from that, how can we kind of stay in that vein to do the things? So for instance, this week he taught me how to make lentil burgers. So lentil are like, they're a type of grain, legume. Think of it almost like, it has a consistency of like beans. But they're very small and you boil them and season them and all that kind of stuff. But basically we use the lentils to create burger patties. And it was so good, like so good. So he taught me how to do that. But then he was like, I can use the rest of it to make meatballs. So this week we're going to be in Italy. So it's like, okay, so since we're on a pasta lane, so we got these lentils, we got spaghetti and meatballs, like how many meals do I make out of that? So that might be 2 days at a time. So it's just a lot of logistics of thinking about the different things that that I want to eat, translating into the things that I need to order from the grocery store. So I've been working on that and enjoying that process, though. It's been nice to experiment and learn different things and have the brain capacity to be able to learn something different. Because again, when you're in survival mode, you can't really do that. So I've been doing that and I've made quite a few recipes that I really liked. And I've still been drinking my teas every day. This week, I've been experimenting with a chai tea. I haven't really been a chai consumer in the past. But what happened is I was drinking black tea because it's kind of like coffee. It has the consistency and like full bodiness of coffee. So I started drinking black tea and then I tried to order some more and they didn't have it. So they were like, we have this chai tea. And I was like, well, let me see what you're talking about. So I'm trying that this week and kind of liking it. I'm all right with it. I'm not like super crazy about it. I think maybe I want it to be a little stronger. So I've been thinking about maybe doing 2 bags instead of just one. But yes, I've been doing that and that's been nice. So it really has been like my routine. Like it's really been, okay, I'm waking up at this time. It's different here because there are windows that don't have covering. So the sun does come in. So I've kind of been letting my circadian rhythm kind of shift too. And like, what time am I naturally waking up in the morning? What time do I feel like my eyes need to open? What time are my brain people getting into the office? You know, that whole thing. So really just honoring that. So it's just been a lot of adjusting and recalibrating and yeah, trying to enjoy the process as I'm doing it.
Yes, indeed. I'm so happy for you, friend. I'm so happy for you. Okay. Chefing it up. How is the cookbook project coming along?
So I had put it on pause because, you know, I was kind of like, I don't have time, energy. It's a lot. Like, I got to do a lot with this move. But, you know, one of the recipes that I think I got down to science is that teriyaki. So the other day I did.
Yes, I did.
A shrimp and vegetable teriyaki. So I subbed out the salmon for shrimp and vegetables. Oh, it was bussing. It was bussing. It was so good. I said, man, this is good. So I have that one down to almost the science, almost to the point of not even having to consult the recipe. So that is one that I have uplifted several times. So it's a work in progress. Like the test kitchen part of it all, I was just saying this morning on the podcast that I'm going to bring back the test kitchen, like now that I'm here. And I believe that I will also be here in July. So I'm just go ahead and name that and claim that and put that out into the atmosphere. So then I'll be able to experiment with some of the others because there are a couple recipes that I liked it, but I wasn't crazy about it. Like I still need to kind of tweak it. Like we did a tilapia with, what is it called? I think it's called a ahi sauce, maybe. I don't remember the name of it. But anyway, because I eat tilapia all the time. So it was like peppers and onions and I want to say cilantro and something else, but it was missing something. So I had tried to do it last night with fish and grits and I got a little bit closer to it, but it's a particular seasoning that I use to give it the kick that I want. So I have to figure out how to do that like with actual fresh ingredients is what I want to do. Cause this particular seasoning is like a branded seasoning. So now we have to kind of deconstruct that because it has a citrus component and it has a spice component. So now we're figuring out how to put the citrus and the spice with fresh ingredients so that we don't have to rely on the seasoning that people might not be able to access if they don't have that particular brand. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where the test kitchen is right now, but I'm looking forward to coming back and doing the live test kitchens like we were doing and just giving people a chance to cook with me, because it's a communal process of preparing food and being a part of that process of how food is prepared and where it comes from. And even the science, I'm really starting to appreciate the science of this new life that I'm in. For a long time, I did not actively use my degree outside of teaching science in the classroom. My bachelor's degree, I've been using the hell out of that damn master's. But for the biology, I hadn't really been actively using it and like using the things that I know and applying it to life. In this phase of life, I'm appreciating the science and the specificity of thinking about growing food, using food, pairing flavors, creating different types of dishes. Like, all of that is science. And the experimenting of it, like, okay, it's got a little bit of, I don't really like that. Okay, what if I put this? That's an experiment. You know, so I've really been appreciating that and the art in it all and the benefit of having a meal that I'm enjoying afterwards. So yeah, that's kind of the things that I've been focusing on. I've also been watching a lot more. Oh God, I don't know why I got the hiccups and carrying on right now. My goodness. I've been watching a lot more things on TV because I had really only been watching YouTube during the past few months. But I started, like, I watched Forever on Netflix. Have you watched it?
I have not.
My God, you have to watch it. So me and Ashley are going to do a podcast about it, because I was talking to her the other day and we've been shaping this internship. And I was like, you know, how do you want to honor this? And she was like, oh my God, it's so good. And I wanted to watch it a couple times. And I'm like, girl, yes. You know, like, it just has the themes that are in it are just something that we need to be talking about with our young people, and also with us as adults, the way that we relate to young people and the way that we show up for young people. It is something I'm really passionate about. So anyway, I've been doing stuff like that, of getting inspired by different works, you know, and watching something and allow that to spark something. And what does that look like? And what does that sound like? Because my brain is able to think now. So I have the opportunity and ability to capitalize on that without it feeling like I am pushing myself to a place of being broken. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yes, indeed. Okay. I love this for you. And I really think that this bond that you and Lucy have is going to be a conversation, because...
See, that's what I mean just, when I say Black people, cat people don't know how to accept no for an answer. That's what it is. I done figured it out. Now I know. This is another question I got to ask people. So how you feel about cats? And if they're like, oh my God, I love them so much, you got boundaries issues. That's how I know. But...
It was... a cute little purr. It was a cute little purr.
Oh, she's cute. I have never taken that away from her. She is very cute. She is gray, honey. She got blonde highlights, girl. A pink collar, honey. She is cute. Okay. And also, go outside. Be cute out there. It's a whole runway that she could walk up and down. Walk up and down that runway, girl. Hit them stairs. Let's have a whole fashion show. And also, don't come up in this house.
Yes, I did. I am just so happy to witness and to see that you are living the life that you manifested. Although it might not be exactly what you want right now, I know that you are very adamant about, I just need some peace and quiet, and I want to live in the mountains. And I don't want to have a whole bunch of people to have access to me right now and to just be and to see that you're doing that and creating content and just thriving and smiling. And it just makes my heart very, very happy to have this moment and this recording with you so that I'm able to lock eyes on you and to hear your voice and to just really check in with you to see how you're doing, because you mean a lot to me, friend. So I'm very thankful that even in spite of that, you are living in a space where you're having peace and that you are taking day by day and being able to smile through it. It looks beautiful on you. I'm very proud and happy for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. God is definitely sending me reminders consistently that I'm not crazy. And the things that I have seen and the things that I have said that I need are the things that I'm gonna have. And the things that will be able to nourish my spirit, there had to be a specific series of events for me to be able to get here, because this is not even a place that I would have been able to access in the ways that I had normally been looking for places. It wouldn't have even come across my radar because of the way that it was priced. So to be able to find it, and not just find it, but the owners be from the States, for one of the owners to be an alternative medicine doctor, for, you know, it to be outside of the city and actually in the mountains. Like, it's what I said that I wanted and what I needed. So it was really just a reminder that God put that in my spirit and then also ordered my steps for me to be able to get to it. It makes my faith even deeper, you know, and allows me to just really know, even in the times where it feels like God isn't as loud, or you feel like you're looking for where God might be, it's just a testament that God is always working in the background to make things happen. You know, so even we can again talk about the trademark dispute. Like, that was long and dark and a lot. And also the way that God is working this out, she can't never fix her lips to say nothing in nobody's court about nothing again. You know what I mean? So it's like, in how many different ways we had thought about, well, maybe we could concede this or maybe we could concede that. Like, God is like, I got this. Like, I just need you to stay the course, you know? So it makes me feel comforted in knowing that I am going in the right direction. You know, I even had a deja vu moment when I was here. And I told you, the way I think about deja vu is it's the confirmation, like, yep, you on the path, girl. You done seen this before. You right there. And so me having that was even more of a like I knew it. I know that this is, you know, where I was wanting to come, but it was like, God was like, let me send her this little flashback snippet right quick. So she could, yes, girl. Yes. You here. It's all right. You know? So that's been really lovely. So yeah, I've just been enjoying being quiet. Believe it or not, as much as I talk, I don't like to talk all the time. I don't like to talk most of the time, honestly. I really don't need to say nothing at all, to be honest with y'all. But God be telling me to say stuff, and that's when, like, it just be so like, I got to say this, you know? But I am very okay with not talking. Like, I am very okay with that. So even the owner the other day, she was like, she said, you know, you don't have to stay down there, because the way that is situated is there are several cabins on the property. So I'm in one. But I had met the neighbors the other day in one of the other cabins. Child, they invited me up for coffee. And we was talking for a good little while. And that was nice. And Lucy sauntered on through there. Lucy came up there.
Yes,
I said, hey, girl, you found you some new friends. But it was nice to do that visit. And it was also like, and I don't have to talk to y'all anymore. It was very nice to meet you. Thank you so much. And bye-bye. I would like to go back to my peace and quiet, you know? So when the owner was like, you can walk around and you can, I'm like, I know. And also, I'm very much at peace. Like, I am very much at peace. And you know me, I'm a tiny girl type of chick, a tiny house type of chick already. So this is very much tiny house vibes on the side of a mountain with a view. Like, this is my Pinterest board. Why would I want to leave? Like, I am right here. I'm good to go. I haven't had any desire to go into the city for anything. I'm trying to figure out how I could get everything here and not even have to go back into the city. Like, it just feels such like a weight was lifted and there is relief and an opportunity to just be and sit down for a moment and just relax. So yeah, it's been good. It's been good. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I made it. I'm grateful that I paid attention to the signs. I'm grateful that God did a combination of whispers and screams and pushes, you know, to help me to focus to get here, because otherwise it would be a lot.
Amen. And God is so good, because God be sending reminders and be showing you where you came from to then where you are now. And it's been great. I went back to the States and my little god baby, she graduated BPK and she is just so adorable, little Amari. And I saw my ex-wife there, and that was the first time that I've seen her since divorce. You know, it was so revealing to me how their demeanor and disposition. It was to one point where we're literally sitting across from the table from one another, and she intentionally put her sunglasses on to avoid any type of eye contact. Like, did not say anything to me at all. Like, no words were spoken, but the energy was very, very loud. Mm-hmm. Being able to be in that space and to be at peace in that.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of...
it wasn't even like an amicable... how are you? How have you been?
No.
Yeah, that's that guilty conscience. That's what that is. Not being able to look accountability in the face.
Yeah, it was, the energy was very, very loud. Mm. But I thank God of just having that moment of being like, God, I thank you. Like, I thank you for what I went through, although I didn't like it in the moment. It had to happen that way for me to be able to remove myself from that.
Yeah.
And I look back and just thank God, and just all these different signs that are showing up of just this trademark dispute again, of just how that prevented my ability to make content and my desire to make content with the thought of it being snatched away by someone being dishonorable, which was a theme of me just being like, I'm so tired of dishonorable people around here. This is why the three keys, folks, is so important to me. This is why I keep talking about it. Accountability, transparency, and integrity. It could all be so simple. It truly can. But we all need to be intentional and operate the best that we can. I will tell you that I am a person where I make several mistakes, but one thing that I will try to do is to be accountable and to hold my own when I make it. And I hope that everyone can do that too, but it's very hard to look at some people around here with the state of affairs where you got people that are out here losing their life. You have children that are out here losing their life because of things that are happening, things that are said, things that are causing harm. The church causing harm. Something I also didn't tell you. My family and I are doing family Bible study. We've been doing...
You started? Because you told me that you was wanting to do that. So how's that
so
going?
So we started with the book of John, 1 John. Okay.
What made y'all choose there?
So that's what Dad chose.
Okay.
He said that starting with the book of John will lay the foundation because of some of the scriptures that that text says about how the word was God and how folks had recognized the Messiah and they recognized who he was. And so he is actually leading this Bible study ministry, which opens the door for him to have this virtual series and to him to continue to preach the word of God. And
so y'all doing it virtually. We are doing it virtually. Nice.
So we meet on Google Meet and it has been great. I must say. So even Summer is with the conversation in it, and it's literally us praying together as a family, studying the word. There's some question and answer and some accompanying materials that I guess he gets from the church that kind of helps drive the conversation. I feel like has been opening the door for more of an understanding that maybe not everyone thinks the same way. And that has been helpful and great, of being able to recognize that maybe I love God, but maybe my walk with God is a little bit different, and it's okay. And it doesn't have to be like your walk with God. And maybe what you thought my walk with God should be, maybe that was just your own version. And that might not be what God has actually called for me. Because who, you know, so it's those type of conversations that are happening, not directly, but indirectly, that have been very, very refreshing when asking questions. And I just can't wait for us to dive deeper and to continue those. But yeah.
I'm curious about how you view your road to getting here. Because I'm just remembering, as you're talking, I'm just remembering, for instance, when you started Discover Your Destiny and you was like, this book, to now, like, you know, and I know throughout this time you've been like, yeah, and I started like getting into the word for myself and like seeing what it's talking about and all that, to now questioning, you know, and asking questions about what's there and how does that look, and respecting your own walk without feeling like it has to meet the standards and requirements of somebody else. I'm curious about what that journey has been like.
It has been very reflective, very revealing, and healing. So for context, for those that might not know, I'm a preacher's kid. So growing up in the church, those are my memories of being early at the church and filling up the, you know, when we had first Sunday and it was communion time, the juice and the crackers, I was the one making sure that that was in formation, or playing music in church. So it was either the keyboard or the drums. Being a musician, I played a lot of roles in the church. And in that, there's been some harm that has happened with that growing up, the way that I grew up. And also the way that I show up, being someone that's very open and wants to be able to explore different people in different lifestyles, and not necessarily being subscribed to, oh, you need to have a husband and wife, which has been like the biggest argument, truly, if we're going to just like call a thing, it has been my sexuality preference. The other stuff is not really talked about. It's just the fact that I am a same gender woman, loving person, that is something that God is going to punish me for, because in the book, it says that I need to be condemned. And there's different translations and different arguments about that particular point, but that's not the matter here. It has been very revealing of how growing up, I've subscribed so much to the indoctrination, really, if we're going to call a thing, of being told that in order to be a quote unquote Christian, I needed to live my life in this way, and I needed to follow these particular rules. And then realizing that there's people out here that say that they're walking with God and they're not following any of those rules. And are they not going to go to heaven? Because they are definitely saying that they're doing it by God. So how does that change? Like, I asked a question about Jehovah's Witness during Bible study yesterday. And I was like, so the folks that believe in Jehovah's Witness, they believe that if you don't follow their pathway, that you're not going to the kingdom. Like you're not going to have access to this afterlife that is talked about within their principle. So what do you say to that? And my father was like, well, they are rightfully wrong. And I then was like, well, what does that mean? Because I'm sure that if I were to ask a Jehovah's Witness about this pathway, they would say the same thing. So how can you say someone is getting to God? And like those type of conversations are so therapeutic, because before it was, this is what it is. Don't ask nothing. It is what it is. But I was very anti the book because the book was used against me and the way that I lived. And then because of you reinforcing us making affirmations from Bible verses and me kicking and screaming about it, and you being like, I don't care, you kicking and screaming about it, you're going to do this. And so I'm like, okay. There needs to be a sound effect for that.
It was said with love and gentleness, but also, yes, I said what I said. Thank you. Please post your reflections on the Padlet.
And with that being said, it was an opportunity for me to like read the book for myself and to be able to be empowered when folks are saying that the Bible says certain things, that I'm able to counter and to know the book for myself, to be able to have a compelling argument, or not even just an argument's sake, but to know what it says and have a general understanding of some of the different Bible stories and some of the context that comes with those stories. So
context is important.
So I'm on the Bible app and I'm on this challenge of reading the entire Bible in 1 year. So they have the different passages that are segmented each day. I will be very transparent to say that I'm a couple of days behind and I need to catch up.
Well, I was about to say, give yourself grace and pace yourself, because it becomes a lot, especially when you activate the switch for I want to learn and I want to know for myself. But that also can come with the pressure of I have to do it in this amount of time. And it's, yes, while that's nice and cute and fancy that you can read the Bible in a year, it also may not necessarily be practical. So giving yourself permission to be like, I'm going to take this on, and I'm also going to take it on as my brain, my spirit, my capacity allows. So yeah.
So that's, it's been a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's up. I'm excited about that. I think there is a lot of freedom that lives in knowing for yourself and being able to stand on your own 2 feet about why you believe what you believe. You mentioned Jehovah's Witnesses. When I was teaching, I had a research class. And in that research class, we would have conversations about all sorts of things. And one of my students was Jewish. And then I had two that were Jehovah's Witnesses. And then I feel like I may have had like a Buddhist. But anyway, one day they got into talking about their spiritual beliefs. And it was really interesting to hear the Jehovah's Witness students be able to articulate why they believed what they believed so well. And I never was able to do that for myself, because my belief and understanding had come through other people. So I was just regurgitating talking points, if you will, and not really from a place of having studied. And I remember seeing them, and this was eighth grade, you know, and I remember seeing them and being like, whether what they believe is right, wrong, or indifferent, that's not for me to decide, but they know why they believe what they believe. And I need to be as convicted in why I believe what I believe and being able to articulate that, you know, in different ways. So even the ways that I started talking about science and God and how you cannot separate those worlds. Like, you cannot, science proves that there is a God and God proves that there is science. Like, it all works together. When I started making those connections for myself, it felt so much more organic, because I was always asking questions like, so why because somebody have a crystal, does that mean that they're a witch? What is the witch part of this? And what exactly is a witch? And who determined who witches are and what practices are witchcraft? And where did that come from? And what are these practices? So in my own walk, and I think I've told you this before about the pastor that told me I was going to be in the wilderness when I told her I was leaving her church. And don't go out, don't be in the wilderness. Girl, I know God. I'm not in the wilderness. But this is what they call in the wilderness, because you start to connect the dots of, hey, you didn't know what you was talking about, ma'am, sir, person. Like, no, that's not what it is. You know, anytime I could sit out here and watch this rain fall and watch these flowers bloom and these plants grow, and you gonna tell me it ain't no God? Or you gonna tell me that that's a process that's separate from God? Like, it all, the way that the universe has been designed shows that there's a God. So that part of it, but then also the boxing in of God that has happened in church, where they try to separate it from the science. You know, I posted something yesterday and it was like, it's interesting that we accept that the moon has an impact on the oceans and the bodies of water and causing the tide. But we don't accept that the moon has an impact on us, even though we're 70% water. That doesn't make sense. So again, that science and the spirituality of it all impact each other. You know, when planets are moving differently, and that changes the energy and that changes the way that communication happens. So like, we have to make space for all of that. All of that is God, not just this little box that you put God in to say that you need to do these particular things that are actually rooted in colonization and the religious movements that were centered in oppression and control. That's not God, you know? So decolonizing of religion is something that's also been really important. So I'm excited. I get excited when I hear people take control of their spiritual practices and really be able to say, this is my spiritual practice, because I know that this practice brings me closer to God. And I don't have to ask for your approval. I don't have to run it by you. This is the way that I connect to God, and the pressure that is relieved from feeling like we have to judge that. I'm not responsible for your relationship with God. The way that you and God talk, the way y'all interact, whatever language y'all done came up with, that's with you and God. Because I know that me and God have our own language. The same way I could be in here cussing in one sentence, and the next sentence I'd be like, Lord, so let me tell you something. You know, like, that is how God and I relate. And that is okay. As opposed to feeling like I've got to go, Heavenly Father, God of grace and mercy, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. Like, I don't have to come to God like that. You know what I mean? So that makes me excited. I'm excited about that. I'm anticipating and looking forward to hearing how it develops. I'm really excited to hear that it's a whole family type of process, because the other thing I've been realizing is how disconnected I am from the world that is coming up, our 20-somethings, and not even to mention our kids that are in schools. The world is completely different. They have inherited a completely different world, and we cannot pretend like that is not the truth. Like, we can't. So them making up their own language and their own words and like the way that they view the world, like all of that is, we've given them this world and they're trying to make sense of it. So we have to accept that it's not the same world, and the world is changing at lightning speed. Lightning speed. You know, I saw somebody say the other day, like, when did we start hearing about AI? Was it like, as far as, when did you first show me about Jasper?
I want to say that was in 22.
I feel like it was in 22. But like, that's around the time where those types of things started coming up into the forefront. Like, and Jasper is a AI model kind of similar to ChatGPT. But Bianca has started working with Jasper. And I remember the first time that you were like, yeah, and I can put in this prompt and it creates this thing. And I was like, in seconds. You know, so it was like, so wow, that was 3 years ago. Now look at how people are using ChatGPT and, you know, the way that AI is everywhere. And I'm not here to say that AI is bad. I don't think that any tool is bad. I think that the way that people use tools are bad. I don't think that the internet is bad. I don't think that social media is bad. I don't think that AI is bad. I think that the way that people choose to use those tools to impact the world can be bad. And that's a people thing. That's not a tool thing. But a lot of, especially in my generation, a lot of people are still, and definitely in our parents' generation, very much trying to fight AI. You know, I ain't finna use that AI. I ain't finna tell that ChatGPT nothing, you know? And it's like, that's fine. And that's your choice. But also, it's been here, one. Two, the world is about to shift. So all that's going to happen is you're going to get left behind. And now, because you didn't interact with AI, now you think that video that you're watching is real. Because you don't even know how AI operates. We got to get out of the mindset of being ignorant about things and actually approach things with curiosity. Even if you choose not to use it in that particular way, at least understand what it is so that if you do need to use it, you can. And that it, if it's being used, that you can identify it. But if you have no interaction with it, then how are you going to know what's happening? All you doing is regurgitating talking points that somebody else told you because you don't have the personal experience to talk about it. You know? So, yeah. I know that was a little rant, but...
Well, how can the people find you, girl?
So y'all can go to KimberlynJackson.com. I pretty much have everything linked there that you might want to find out about me. I have reintegrated myself back into my Kimberlyn J Instagram. So you can also find me there. And Minding My Black Ass Business on all platforms, on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, where else? The website, MindingMyBlackAssBusiness.com. You know, I'm out here in these streets. You can also Google me. You know, you'll find out some interesting things about me and my life and the types of things that I have been through and encountered. If you're looking to leave the U.S., please go to FindingPeaceAbroad.com, schedule a consultation with me so that we're able to create a strategy for you to leave the U.S. if you're looking to do that. If you are looking for some healing and community, I would love to have you in my Patreon. Again, that is at Minding My Black Ass Business. That is where I share the things that are happening right now. So the vlogs and the pictures and the videos is where you can see the tour of where I live. I'm working on the vlog right now of editing Lucy and her shenanigans and, you know, me kind of getting myself situated and together. So
Team Lucy.
So yeah, come hang out with me in the spaces, KimberlynJackson.com and Minding My Black Ass Business. Where can they find you?
Well, they could find me in Lima, Peru, eating some good food and having the amazing teddy bear season that I'm about to have, that I am having. Okay, but on the internet streets, you can find me at www.biancagoolsby.com. If you go there, you can see a link to my different ventures and also my different social media spaces. That's where I'm at. That's where I be at. So you can schedule time with me if you desire so that we can connect. And there are so many different things that are in the works as it relates to teaching for the culture, as it relates to the Level 8 agency, and all the way down to make snitching great again. Because there are some folks that snitching out here, and we need to talk about it and highlight it, because I'm one of those snitches. And we got some things to talk about and expose, because people lie, receipts don't.
Amen. Well, we will, whenever this post, do we want to talk about the shift to live here? Or
yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to shift you all to recording these videos live with our people so that we're able to have the interaction and you all are able to contribute to the show and form community in the chat, because that's definitely what we are trying to do, is form that community. We're going to be shifting. So you'll see that, okay, whenever that happens. It will be happening soon, within the next month or so. So just be ready to mark your calendars to be present, to hang out with us. And do the things, because we want y'all in on this conversation. We want to hear your thoughts. You know, we want to know. So having said that, if there's anything that has moved you while you're watching this, hopefully you've already commented, but if you haven't, go ahead and leave one about something that you are taking away with you, something that move something in your spirit, maybe something that made you chuckle, even down to giving congratulations that this trademark dispute is finally over. Feel free to talk to us in the comments and we will definitely be responding there. So look out for that and be ready to be an active part of this community.
Yes, indeed. We have a website, just to remind y'all, and that's where you can get up-to-date information on the things that we are doing. So go to wehealthatshit.com. There are some resources that we've created that is ready for y'all to receive. So there are different books for healing that me and Kimberlyn have been reading and exploring, and we have recommended titles, and you can get access to that by going to the website. We also have a mailing list of updates. So the next time that we post, you'll be able to get that if you're on the mailing list. And if you want to binge watch some of our content, maybe if you missed a few of our episodes, you can go check that out on the YouTube page. And we greatly appreciate your support because together we're going to heal. And I'm so glad that we have this space because we really need to heal that shit around here.
All right. Well, we'll catch y'all next time. Be well.
Bye.